Well, good evening. It's nice to be able to share in the gospel again. We welcome again as you watch online. We do want to read one verse tonight, just one verse for our gospel text tonight. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he said on this occasion, Matthew 11, verse 28, the great gospel invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But our text tonight is verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We live in a day when people are weary. People are weary. The pace of life increases day by day. While it seems at the moment with the COVID-19 that the handbrake has been put on for a little while, nevertheless, when these things pass and when the peak is over and life seems to get back to normal again, we will find that the pace of life will increase again very quickly. We are creatures of habit. We live on a whim. The pace of life, the swiftness of time, the pressure of life, of business, of family, and just life in general. And sometimes people get weary. And what a great gospel invitation this is tonight. You see, tonight there is love and there's life and there's lasting joy found in none other but in the person and the work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And this great gospel text tonight reminds us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Three things tonight that I want to think about very simply tonight. The gospel is a simple message. And very simply tonight, I want to think about three things. First of all, a weary soul. A weary soul. I want to think about a welcoming Savior. A weary soul, a welcoming Savior, and a worthy salvation. A worthy salvation. What a great invitation this is. From the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A weary soul. I wonder tonight, are you a weary soul? The hymn writer said, "My troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not meant to bear this heavy load. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Jesus cures. He cures for you. Jesus cures. He cures for you. And with no worries, he'll help you make it through. Cast your burden upon the Lord, Jesus cures. Jesus cures for you." In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus was making his way from Jerusalem to Judea, and he must needs go through a village called Samaria. Samaria, you had to go out of your way to get through Samaria. There was many ways that you could go around it. There was an old feud between the Jews and the Samaritans, and so the Jewish people never went through the town of Samaria. But there had been an appointment that had been set up in the countless ages of time before this. And on this particular occasion, the Lord Jesus said, "We must needs go through Samaria." And it was at midday, it was the sixth hour, it was 12 o'clock. The Jewish day began at 6 a.m. And so at the sixth hour at 12 noon, as he walked through the town of Samaria, there was a well, Sacher's well, and he sat down and he was weary with his journey. And as he sat upon the well at the sixth hour, there was a lady of Samaria who came to draw water from the well. Now, we're going back 2,000 years, and so there was no running water, there was no taps in the houses. How spoiled we are electric showers and water in our homes and so on. And in those days, the ladies went to draw water from the well that were found in every town and village. Most of the ladies went at the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of the ladies went at the ninth hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was the pinnacle of the day, the sixth hour. The sun, the eastern sun would have been in its zenith. It would have been warm and humid and mucky heat. The strength of the eastern sun would have burned your skin, and so many people stayed in. But here's a lady, and she comes at the sixth hour. The reason she came at the sixth hour was because she couldn't come at the third hour. She couldn't come at the ninth hour. This lady had a reputation in the town. This lady had a name in the town that no one liked. And for years she had been shunned and despised. When people met her on the street, they went to the other side. When people seen her coming towards her, they nipped down a side street. Such was her reputation. But she came to the well. And when she came to the well, on this occasion, the Lord Jesus was sitting at the well, and he said to her, "Give me to drink. Give me to drink." And she said very quickly, she said, "Why is it? How is it that thou, being a Jew, asked a drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria?" Because she says the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Of course, the Lord knew that. Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that asked you to give for the drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you a drink of living water." And the woman said, "But sir, you have nothing to draw with. And this particular well is deep. So from where would you get this living water?" Jesus said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water of this well at Sychar, will thirst again, because the water of the world doesn't satisfy. But he says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but shall be in him a well of water." The water, or the well, word translated literally means fountain, a fountain of water. It's not just a well of water. It's a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, when you take a drink of the water of life, you would never thirst again. Jesus said to this lady, "Go and call your husband and tell him to come." You see, he knew all about her. He knew the very head, the hairs on her head. He knows her inward parts. He knows all about our lives. He knows our DNA. He knows all about us, inside, outside. He knows things about us that no one else knows, even our nearest and our dearest. And he knew all about this woman. And he knew all about her reputation that she had in the town. She knew the type of name that she had in the town, how she was despised, how she was shunned. And well, the lady was very truthful. She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "Well, you've answered well, you have no husband. But he says you've had five husbands. And the man that's at home now with you is not your husband." You see, she had six men in her life. But on this occasion, she met the seventh man. And seven in her Bible speaks of perfection. And on this occasion, she met the perfect man, she met the pardoning man, she met the preeminent man. She met a man on this occasion that could satisfy her every need, satisfy her spiritual need. Because she was a great sinner like we all are sinners. The Bible says that we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And here was a woman, and she was in the depths and the degradation of sin. But she met the perfect man. She met the pardoning man. She met the preeminent man. Maybe tonight, as I speak to you out over the airwaves tonight, maybe tonight you're fed up with sin in your life. Maybe tonight you have a quenching in your heart and in your soul that the drink and the water of this world can never satisfy. Maybe, like that old hymn writer said, you've tried the broken cisterns, but ah, the waters failed. E'en when I stooped to drink, they fled, they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Oh, if this woman had a knew this old hymn, how she got a song it from her heart. You know, she got a drink of the living water. And the living water was in her, a fountain, and it was springing up into everlasting life. Oh, she could have sung that old hymn. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. Tonight, there's one who can bring purpose to your life. There's a balm in Gilead tonight to make the wounded whole. And there's power enough in Jesus to heal your sin-sick soul. The Savior says tonight, come unto me. Stands with outstretched arms tonight. In this year 2020, through the trouble and terrible times that our world is in tonight, and still the great invitation is the same. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight, come to the cross. Tonight, hear the cry from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Tonight, see the blood that flows from the cross. Tonight, find peace at the cross. Tonight, lay your burdens at the cross. What an invitation, a weary soul. We have a welcoming Savior. Mind you, welcome's good, isn't it? It's nice to feel welcome. Some nights you come home, and through the pressures of business and the day, it hasn't been a very good day. We all get days like that. And it's good to come home to welcome. It's good when you go to visit a friend's house, fellowship in the church, and we should be given to hospitality as God's people. And it's good, I love to go to the Lord's people's, to people's houses who are the Lord's, because they have so much in common with you. And it's good when you go to a friend's house, a handshake, a hug, it's great to feel welcome. Those that you love, to spend time with them. I wonder, did you ever feel not welcome? Thankfully, I have felt it, but thankfully not too many times. Sometimes there is situations that you find yourself in, or maybe you walk in somewhere and maybe the time's not right and you don't feel very welcome. It's not a nice thing. It's not a nice experience. But here's a Savior who makes us welcome. Do you remember in Luke chapter 15, that prodigal? Do you remember when he was away in the far country? And do you remember how when he had spent all his inheritance, and the Bible says in red his living and so on, and the pocket was empty, and the wallet was empty, and the cured was empty, and so he's sitting there, and he comes to himself, and he says, you know, I'll head for home. Because he knew that there was a possibility of a welcome. And he began to turn this all over in his head. And he says when he got home, he'll say, you know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm nowhere worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And so as he headed up the road home, he was turning this over in his mind time and time again. Sin, not worthy. Just a job, just a hired servant. Sin, not worthy, hired servant, time and time again. And as he come towards the homestead, his father saw him. His father had checked for his boy every day for so long, maybe 2 years. And he had been watching for him. And this particular morning he went out and there was a silhouette of a person away in the distance. And on this occasion he looked, and the closer the silhouette got, he realized that it was a man, perhaps by his frame, by his height. And then he watched for another little while, and then he seen as that silhouette got closer that it was a younger man, his positioning, and the way that he carried himself. He wasn't stooped or anything like that. And then the father's brain began to tick, and he said to himself, "I wonder, is that my son?" And the closer he got, the more he realized. And the lovely story says this, that when he was yet a great way off, his father ran, and he had compassion on him, and he fell on his neck. He ran and he embraced him so tight and so hard that the two men fell. He fell on his neck. And he smothered his forehead with kisses. What a welcome. And he said this, he says, "Listen, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger." And then there's something very special. He says, "Put shoes on his feet." The servants were barefooted. His boy was not going to be that hired servant. He was back in the family again. He never left it. But he was there, and he was by. And oh, what a welcome this Savior will give you tonight, if you come and trust him. The Lord himself, of course, was rejected. John 1 reminds us of how he came unto his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him. He was not welcome. The Pharisees, the authorities, hounded him to the cross, to the death of the cross, but it was in the plans and the purposes of Almighty God. He hung upon the cross, and he shed his precious blood for me, for you. Those hours of darkness upon the cross when God punished his son and poured upon his son the great price and pardon that was required for sin. He shed his precious blood for us. And the grave couldn't hold him. And on the third day he rose again. And tonight he lives in the power of an endless life. And tonight he stands with open arms and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I wonder, would you come tonight? Come unto me. John 6 and 37 reminds us that him that cometh to me, I will in no ways cast out. We have a weary soul. We have a welcoming Savior. We'll have a worthy salvation. Peter said in his little epistle, he said that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. Sometimes silver and gold is worth very little. We'll show you, we'll prove it these days, don't we? We have been in a lockdown situation, and the price of oil, in fact, they're giving it away in places. They're paying people to take it in certain parts of the world. And stocks and shares are at an all-time low. And so I'm so glad tonight that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But we are redeemed tonight with the precious blood of Christ. The wealthiest and the richest men in the world go into liquidation. And they lose everything because they're only temporal things. Paul says as he writes the Corinthians that the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. But the blood of Jesus Christ tonight will never lose its power, will never lose its value. While we are here on earth, while we are in heaven, the song of heaven is this: unto him who hath washed us and loved, unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own most precious blood. We'll sing about the blood here, and we'll sing about it in heaven forever. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb tonight. There's death defeating power. There's soul redeeming power in the blood of Christ. That's worthy tonight. He's a worthy Savior tonight. And this salvation and the price that was paid upon the cross for your sin and for my sin tonight is so worthy and is so costly. Why? Number one, because of how it was purchased. How it was purchased. How was salvation purchased? It was purchased on the cross for you and me. There as my surety, he firmly stood. He paid for my ransom, his precious blood. And on upon the cross of Calvary, he bore the great load of sin. And from his holy soul he cried, the psalmist said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me, and the waves and billows of God's wrath poured in upon his holy soul upon the cross. And in the darkness alone he paid the great price and bore the great punishment of our sin. Oh, it's worthy tonight because of how it was purchased. It's worthy tonight because of how it was paid. The old system in the Old Testament, those little lambs that were without blemish and spot, and they were brought into the temple every day, and they were slain and slaughtered on the altars of Israel time after time. But there was one who hung upon the cross, and there was one who bore the great punishment of our sin. There's one who hung upon the cross with nails in his hands and feet and crown of thorns upon his brow. It's worthy tonight because how it was purchased. It's worthy tonight because of how it was paid. And it's worthy tonight because of how you possess it. Because the great invitation, this great come unto me tonight. That's just how you possess it. You just come. In childlike faith, you just come. You can't pray for it, and you can't pay for it, and you can't work for it. You just come. If you confess with your mouth, Paul says, as he writes to the Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be see him. I wonder, would you come tonight? Do you remember that night in the jail at Philippi? Paul and Silas, they were singing praises to God at midnight, and the earth quaked come, and the foundations of the prison shook, and the stocks and the doors flew open. And the jailer, who was asleep, was awakened out of his sleep, and in fear and trembling, he come before Paul and Silas, and he came into the inner prison, and he fell down, and he said this. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And it was a simple answer. They didn't say, "You climb to the top of this mountain, and you do this, and you go somewhere, and you pray for 2 weeks, and you do this, and you pay so much." No, he didn't. They just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We used to sing an old hymn when I was a boy in the gospel hall on a Sunday night. And the words were this: how simple God's way of salvation. It's not trying nor doing one's best, but it's simply believing in Jesus, that the weary and sinful find rest. Men make things complicated, but with God it's simple. You believe and you receive. It's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? We live in the great day of grace. And tonight there is room, and there's time, and there's opportunity for men and women and young people to be saved. But someday, very soon, the day of grace will finish. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the next greatest event in the history of this world. You know, maybe people think it'll be a cure for COVID-19 and so on, and all those things will be good. But in God's prophetic calendar, the rapture of the church is the next great event. And Paul says when he writes to the Thessalonians, how the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that could happen tonight, or happen in the week that we have entered. Just like that, the Christians would disappear, caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. Maybe as you listen tonight online, perhaps you've listened to gospel preaching for many years. Maybe there's nights before that the Spirit of God was speaking to you. Maybe you had inklings of things, you thought about things, and you haven't done anything about them. Maybe there's nights who are maybe very close, but tonight you're still unsaved, you're still in your sin. Well, ere this great day of grace would finish, maybe tonight, would you come to Christ, come to the Saviour, make no delay. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He tells you, hi, O come to Christ who shed his blood and at the cross, get right with God. A weary soul, a welcoming Saviour, a worthy salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our God and Father, as our meeting finishes tonight, we do pray, O God, that when the preacher's voice is silent, that God's voice will be heard. We do pray, O God, for the movement, the inkling of the Spirit of God to someone's soul tonight. We pray, O God, that the things that have been said, O God, that you would please thee to use something that has been read or said tonight. We pray that conviction of sin would come. We pray that the Spirit of God would move, and pray that someone would say, Christ, for me. Lord, we leave the need of the hour before thee. We ask in thy love and grace and mercy to come in and to save sinners tonight. Exalt the name of Jesus in salvation. Bring sinners home, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.